Welcome back to another episode of Brains, Bibles, and Beyond, everyone's favorite podcast when you need something to go to sleep to.
Because of our soothing melodic voices.
I hope you brought your pillow. I know I did.
Be prepared.
After you get done liking, subscribing, grab your theological receptacle and join us for another wonderful episode of Brains, Bibles, and Beyond.
Here it comes. Oh, the brew, that is true.
Whew. Glad I freshly heated that one up to scald my throat all the way down.
Yeah.
So on our first segment of today's show, you may have guessed, and yes, you are correct, we're going to play Stump the Theologian.
Yes.
Everyone's favorite.
It actually terrifies me.
But go ahead. Now, just a review of the rules of this game. We're making them up as we go.
Yeah.
But apparently, Joel gets 3 minutes to satisfactorily answer a question. If he cannot answer that question within 3 minutes, then we deem it a good question. And we stump that theologian. Now, some of these questions may take more than 3 minutes to answer, and that's okay. That means we win.
Explain the Old Testament.
And Joel can't win. Okay. We just win. So, and our guest reader of today's question is my favorite daughter, Elizabeth.
Wow.
Come on in, Elizabeth.
I don't have that title.
That's pretty rare. Shake up the hat.
Do you have a $300?
We are getting low on questions, so send them in, please.
As soon as you have more than one, you're not allowed to have one.
I need more questions.
All right. Microphone.
Check.
Why do we pray?
Oh,
why do we pray?
Okay.
Ooh. So why do we pray? Is that like because
he knows everything already?
Okay.
Why does he want us to pray for
omniscient?
Because he's already sovereign. He's already got a plan. He already knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why am I
supposed to pray? What in the world is that supposed to do?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so that's the question.
Okay.
Does that make sense? All right.
It makes sense.
Let's start the timer.
Okay.
Let's go. 3 minutes. Boom.
We're commanded to pray without ceasing, right? So we have to be obedient to God. It's been commanded. So we think of why to do things. That really needs to be the first idea is we're going to please Him. We're going to obey Him. But then to the heart of the question, you're thinking, yes, okay, but it's not like He's trying to figure out what you want. And you have to let Him know, let Him in on your heart. Of course, He knows these things. So I think there's a couple primary reasons why we would pray to explain that side of it. One of those things is simply just relationship. You know, how do you have a relationship with someone? You talk, you listen, back and forth. You're in the Word of God. He's talking to you. And then you speak to Him in prayer. You know, there's a relationship back and forth there. And God loves us. He wants to be with us. And so this is a good thing for us to do. Also, though, I think it goes beyond that. It helps us to learn a proper response. It helps us collect our thoughts on who God is, what He's doing, what He will do. So I see a need in my life. I see a need in someone else's life. Something good happens. My initial response is what? To talk to Him. And that's a good thing. It's re-networking your brain to think better, to be more like Christ, to be focused on Him. I'm setting my mind on the things that are above, where Christ is, see at the right hand of God, in Colossians 3 there. And so it's a beautiful process that helps us. The end result is it helps us, right? So it's our benefit. We do it for us, essentially. But it's God's design. And we see in James says, hey, sometimes you don't have things because you're not even asking for them. And he goes on, he says more, but we'll take that away. And then there's the story of the persistent widow. Sometimes we don't have things, so we don't keep asking. He wants to show that, hey, you need me. This is not just coincidence. You need me, you know. A little bit of time. Here, one minute left.
Got 1 minute. I'll
give a story. There's, you know, somebody's fake story, but it gets a point across. You're driving into the parking lot, super busy. You know, maybe it's Christmas season or something. And you're like, man, I'm in such a rush. I really need to get other things done. Lord, please give me a spot up front, you know, because it's like everything's totally packed out. You have to like park a mile away. And so then all of a sudden you see this car pulling out of their parking spot up front. And then you go, oh, never mind. Got it. So like a lot of times, you know, we pray for things too. You know, the whole point is that we learn dependence on Him. We give Him credit. We give Him glory for everything. And so that's a part of it all too, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Any clarifying questions?
Do you have a follow-up question?
Yeah.
All right, what's your follow-up question?
Okay, so what's the difference of, like, sitting on the couch, because, like, we sit on the couch and pray before we go to bed, like, pray for everyone that needs it. What's the difference of doing that or kneeling at your bed, holding your hands?
Okay. Yeah, so we're talking about the postures of prayer. Yeah, the Old Testament and New Testament, you know, especially I think the Old Testament is where my mind goes, where they would like lay prostrate, you know, that word where you're laying flat on your belly, you know, face down, that kind of a thing. You know, the Bible says like he fell on his face or something like that. You know, not that he tripped and hurt himself. The idea is he goes down immediately. And the idea is it's a reflection of what is in the heart. And I don't think God so much cares about your physical posture while talking to him. But a lot of times our physical posture is reflecting what's in the heart, which is what God does see and he does care about. And so maybe if I'm showing an absolute desperate need, or it's reflecting my humility, or just that submissive worship, you know, that kind of a thing. It could be a lot of different things.
Can that posture also help our heart get right? It's not necessarily a reflection, but sometimes just
possibly
bowing on your knee can help you. Okay, just remember who I really am and who God really is, and
it could be a way to train yourself, perhaps. Like I, you know, tell kids, bow your head, fold your hands, close your eyes, and the big thing is to show humility. You're bowing and humility. And maybe people don't actually teach these things. They say do it, but they don't say why. And so let's do that. But then, you know, closing your eyes, folding your hands is to help children especially to not get distracted by things around. And it still helps me. A lot of times I'll get my mind will start running off something else, right? So it really helps to stay focused. But it's not necessary. You have your eyes open, driving so you don't crash. And you know, the whole point is, why that posture? Because I can't wait to talk to you. I want to do it right now, but I don't want to crash either. It's all apart. Yeah.
Does that answer the question? Or do you have another one?
Yeah, so like sometimes people like want to hold hands because that helps them.
Mm.
But like also people can't hold hands.
All hands with other people?
Yeah, like
I
can't do that.
There's an element of touching someone.
You just don't.
I just don't listen.
It doesn't help you focus though.
Yeah, it doesn't like it doesn't help me focus on what we're saying to God and like.
Yeah, sure. I know that there is different groups of people, you know, different like denominations of Christianity. Sometimes they do this more than others. But there's, you know, a lot of times the Bible says lay your hands on them and things like that. And so they'll do that. And, you know, the hand on the shoulder or I've having, you know, even some people have taken my hand, like a man will do like a handshake, but hold on to my hand and pray. And so we're like, we're holding hands that way, you know, or a lady sometimes will hold out her hand and it's usually a little bit older of a lady, you know, it might be awkward if it's someone that's more of my peer or something, but this is what they do. And it's just that idea that that physical touch sometimes just makes it more personal, more intimate. I really care about you.
Yeah, this connection. So like putting your hand on somebody when you pray for them and then just like all stand in a circle holding hands.
Yeah,
that's the part that she's referring to.
Yeah, it's like community, right? Though it's like showing that.
I don't like that. Okay, so
I'm sorry.
Why does God tell us to like put our hands on each other like when we're praying for them? Like,
where is that in the Bible? You're saying
no. Like, why does He want us to do that? Like,
oh,
how does that help?
It is in the Bible.
Yes, it is. It is.
Well, one. Where is it? Because I would like to look that up.
Off the top of my head, I would struggle to find it. An exact reference. It's just, it's all over. You know, it's even like Paul talks to Timothy when they laid their hands on him. I think in James, maybe, when it's in chapter 5, someone gets sick, you anoint with oil. And I wonder if, I can't remember if it, maybe it says laying hands there. I can't remember. But you could just use something like Bible Gateway, Bible Hub, something like that, and just search, you know, lay hands. You'll find it. A bunch of references come up. You'll see it's all over. There's no explanation given in scripture for why that is. The guess that I have would be that because it makes that more intimate connection with somebody. You know, holding hands in a circle, like that's not in scripture. But I could see a benefit there. Like at the dinner table, my family will often do that, you know. And of course the kids are being goofy and you know, train them to do better. But the idea is that we're having unity, you know, it's as a family unit. Now this is our fellowship. It's our common cause of God, right? We're doing all these things. It doesn't have to be that way. You know, different strokes for different folks. The whole point is don't do things vainly. Do things with purpose. Be intentional. Be meaningful of things. Let it be out of a genuine heart. And I think you're going to be okay.
Okay. So.
I got another question.
We're definitely beyond the.
Follow up.
Hold on.
Okay. So what I always thought was like, it just made the other, like the person that you're praying for, like when you touch them, it makes them feel better. Which it doesn't for me, but like.
Some people it does.
Some people.
Yeah.
Some so people. I always thought that's what it was. But.
Yeah, could be. For some folks, it does help them. All right. Well, all right.
We're what's the satisfactory there? Answer?
I guess.
Why sadly. Should we pray? Sadly, no. We want a satisfactory answer.
We like learning. We like growing.
We'd like him to lose, but we want a satisfactory answer.
I don't like giving at the same time.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Although he did take like
no points.
10 minutes, not three.
Well, there were several layers to this question.
Sure. I stopped the timer. After he hit 3 minutes, then the follow-up questions are
important.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Elizabeth.